listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Spring is just around the corner, although it may not seem like that if you're out walking today. With spring comes spring cleaning, and here to talk about how to purge your kitchen and pantry of old, stale ingredients to make room for fresh new ones is Melissa Clark. She's a columnist for the New York Times in the dining section and the author of at least 30 cookbooks. Her most recent is Cook This Now from Hyperion. I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show. And I think of you as a regular on the show now.
I love that. I love being a regular.
And we invite our listeners to join the conversation. You can give us a call at 212-433-9692 or leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. You can also join in the conversation on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So do you regularly clean out your pantry and kitchen cabinets?
Should I tell you the truth or should I tell you what really happens? No, I want to regularly clean out my kitchen cabinets and the pantry. I'm probably every other year. Every other year I do a really deep cleaning, and I'm trying to get it to be a yearly thing.
But I'm assuming that because you do so much cooking that you don't face the problems that many of us do, that the ingredients
right.
get used up a lot quicker.
I mean, that's the thing about it. That's the thing about my house, and that's the thing about where you shop. You want to make sure there's a high turnover, and I have a very high turnover. I use a lot of spices. I use a lot of the things that will go off if you keep them around. Nuts, for example. I just use them so often they don't have a chance to go rancid. But if you don't cook a lot and you're not constantly going in, you do need to take stock, and this is a perfect time to just go through your entire pantry, open every jar, and really, you know, just sort of see what you have. Take stock, because right now I know that I'm ready for spring. I think we're all ready for spring, and with that comes rejuvenation.
Well, observant Jews do a kitchen spring cleaning every Passover.
Exactly. And you have
Do you think that's linked to this?
I do. I was thinking about that on the way here. I was thinking about, you know, the desperate search for crumbs, to get rid of all the crumbs to make sure your house is good for Passover. And I think that's very much part of this renewal, this sense of starting fresh. And when you start fresh, you need to start from a clean place. And I know that I'm very good about turning over spices, because pretty much every time I go to a spice store, I just buy new spices anyway. And then so it's probably more like every 6 months in my house. I'm very conscious of that. But what I'm not as conscious as is the actual cleaning part. And I think that that's just as important, is to make sure that you're not just emptying the tin and then putting the new spices in, or throwing out the tin and putting the new tin in its place, is that you're taking a moment, and this is the perfect time to do that. You're taking everything out, and you're just going to give it a little clean, and you're going to start again. And I have a trick for this, which I think works. I mean, whenever I do a deep clean, don't do it all at once, because if you do it, I mean, unless you happen to have an entire day that you can dedicate to. But for me, I don't. I have it. An hour here, 40 minutes there, 3 minutes here. And I use all those little bits of time, and I just do little sections. So I'll do one drawer, and I'll open the drawer. And I think it's important to have the right products on hand, the right cleaning products. I like to use natural cleaning products that I make myself. They're so easy. White vinegar and water and a little bit of soap will clean pretty much anything, and you just put it in a big spray bottle. Just have that.
Dish soap.
Just a teeny bit of dish soap, exactly. Or you can use like a peppermint soap, like a Castle's, you know, peppermint soap, something like that. You can add a little essential oil if you want it to smell nice while you do it. It's always good. Aromatherapy is good for cleaning. It makes you happy. Have that at the ready. Just get that set up, and when you have a few minutes, empty one drawer at a time and wipe it out with that just spray, and then wipe and go from there.
Well, you've mentioned spices more than once.
Yes.
And are all spices, must they all be replaced? Let's say whole peppers, peppercorns. Do they have to be replaced just as or if I have cinnamon sticks, is
right.
it the same as if I have ground cinnamon?
No. Whole spices last
nutmeg.
A lot longer. Yeah. Any whole spices you have, like nutmeg, cinnamon sticks, peppercorns, also things like crushed red pepper, star anise, things like that. If you have that stuff, it doesn't keep forever. Some people think that keeps forever, but it'll keep for a couple of years. It really will, because what happens is when you grind spices, and the same thing with nuts, is that you are are releasing volatile oils, right? You're allowing more of the surface area to be exposed to oxygen. They'll go stale more quickly because they're going to lose those volatile oils. They're going to dissipate, and they're also going to the oxygen causes them to go stale. So they lose their flavor, and they not only do they lose their flavor, they take on the flavor of your cabinets, which, you know, if you're not using beautiful essential oils, may not be the best thing in the world.
Now, every so often, I'll be going through the freezer, and I'll find something that is old. And,
yes.
We have a rule, 1 year.
Yes, we do too. And sometimes I don't follow that rule. You know, if you have something
but
really
does it
special.
Matter that most of those things, like the whether it's a stock or a ravioli or something like that, it'll be just as good after a couple of years.
I used to think so, but you know, there is such thing as freezer burn. Have you ever had freezer burn? It's terrible.
Well, if you store it correctly, you can avoid that, can't you?
Not necessarily, because every time you open your freezer, you're allowing warm air to just rush over everything in there. And you know what? Some things fare better than others. Stocks and things that don't have fats in them will last a lot longer. And they're also in a big solid block, so you're not going to get much. You know, you're not going to defrost it at all. But if you have something like ravioli, or my big thing is pie dough, doesn't last that long. If something like that really only has like a 3 to 6 month storage life, depending on how well you freeze it. Also, fats, like if you keep – I keep duck fat in the freezer and lard in the freezer, and those will go off. Even if you have them frozen, that is a one – definitely – throw them out after a year.
Meats?
Meats, for sure. Meats also, they have a fat content, and they're not – I mean, even if they're frozen in a big block, they will degrade. So label everything, and now is a really good time to clean out your freezer. Here's a trick for cleaning out your freezer, because you think, well, if I take everything out of my freezer, but some stuff is new, it's going to defrost in the time it takes to clean, right? So all you have to do is get a cooler and just have your cooler with a couple of ice packs. You can even take all the ice in your freezer and put it in a plastic bag. Put that in your cooler, take everything out, put the things you're going to save in the cooler, throw the things out, and then clean that freezer with, you can use the same vinegar spray.
One of the big problems is sometimes you're not sure what that thing is that's in the freezer. And I'm always promising to label things, but it doesn't always happen.
Well, in our house, what happens is I mostly label things, not quite everything, but the labels fall off. And then I'll find on the bottom of the freezer these little tapes that say, you know, black bean sauce, you know, from 2002 or something like that. Or you know what? You know what's a good trick? Have you ever done this where you put something in the freezer and you label it incorrectly so nobody will touch it? Like right now I have this thing labeled cookie dough, and I've noticed, and I do this too, but I notice that the cookie dough level in the freezer is getting lower and lower and lower. Someone is going into the freezer and eating the frozen cookie dough. Yeah, you can do that if you get a spoon in there. So if you mislabel things, so for example—
poison.
Or just call it like, bacon fat, you know, or something, or, you know, that fudge sauce. If you freeze fudge sauce, it doesn't actually get totally frozen. So if you want to deter people from dipping a spoon in, you can call it black bean sauce.
My guest is Melissa Clark. You can read her every week in the New York Times. She also has over 30 cookbooks. The most recent one is Cook This Now. It's from Hyperion. And we're inviting your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And Tom from Hell's Kitchen has written in to ask, how long are jellies and jams good for? Now, they're usually vacuum-packed.
You know, that's true. If you're going to talk about a store-bought jam, they will have a use-by date. Always follow the use-by dates within, you know, reason.
They usually say a year longer.
Exactly.
Is okay.
A year longer is. But if it's homemade, you don't really – and you didn't label it. If someone gave it to you as a gift and you're not sure when they made it, that's the kind of thing where – the thing about a jam and a jelly, anything with high sugar content, even if it goes off, it's not going to kill you. So you don't have to be that worried about keeping it longer. The worst that'll happen is it'll get moldy. And if a jam or a jelly gets moldy, you open it up and you look at it and you're going to see the mold. So then throw it out or scrape it off the top. But it's not the kind of mold that is going to be harmful. So don't worry too much about that. Where you really have to worry is things with higher acid content.
Well, what about things in vinegar?
Yes, so things in vinegar. Well, I mean, vinegar is a really good preservative.
Isn't it a preservative?
It's a really good, I mean, that keeps all the bacteria out. Really, you know the things that really will kill you is the fats. So if you have something that has, but like, for example, a pate. And it's in a can, and you have this can of pate, and you have no idea when it's from. That's when I would worry, and that's what I would throw out.
And what about cheese? You know, I've been given conflicting advice on cheese. Some people have said if there is a little mold on the cheese, just cut it off. And one cheese person said, and it even tastes better. And then others have said, no, once there's a mold, that means that mold has actually gone into the cheese. What we're seeing on the surface is just the surface indication.
Yeah, no, I've heard both of those things too. I've heard the conflicting things. And I think the problem is that you don't really know what mold you've got. You know, I mean, there's atmospheric molds that make milk into fabulous cheeses, and those are good molds. But then there are molds that make it taste off. And I will throw the whole thing out. I mean, if you see the green mold, I throw the whole container out. But I know that, you know, I didn't grow up in the Depression, and I know that my mother has a very different viewpoint, and she's been scraping the green off cottage cheese her whole life, and she's fine. So I don't have a definitive. I'd love to know what listeners, if they have any insight into that one. Do we have any biochemists out there who could?
Well, if you do know, give us a call at 212-433-9692, or write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. There are a lot of staples that we can keep indefinitely, but do things like flour and rice and dried beans go bad?
Yeah, you know, flour, white flour will last a really long time. It'll last for years because white flour has been so highly processed that there's no oil left in. I mean, if you hear one thing that we keep talking about, it keeps coming up. It's that fats are the thing that degrade the most quickly. They affect the flavor and they can be dangerous. I mean, not in flour, but in other things. So white flour has no fat in it because all of the germ is gone. Something
you have
like,
to worry about insects
yes.
in some cases.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that you always have to worry about. I mean, insects, you could buy brand new flour and it could have insects in it from the store. So you should always keep an eye for that. But if whole wheat flour, any whole grain flour, whole rye flour, that degrades pretty quickly because of the bran. And that bran is very good for you and you want that in your, you know, especially if you like to cook with whole grains, you love that bran. But the bran is the thing that will make it go off. So I would say if you keep your flour in the cabinet rather than the refrigerator, that's the kind of thing which is a good to turn over in the spring, unless you know when you bought it. I mean, you know, when we say turn everything over, we don't necessarily mean, well, categorically throw it out. I mean, take stock of it. Think about it. Like, how old is this? If you can't remember when you bought it, that's when you throw it out.
What about rice?
Rice
and beans.
Exactly. Same thing with rice. Beans are fine. The thing about beans is that the longer you keep them, the longer they take to cook, and they lose their freshness. I mean, don't keep your beans for years. They really are better if you consume them within a year. And beans are inexpensive. So I would say it's okay to throw out those beans that you don't remember when you bought them and buy new beans. Rice, brown rice versus white rice. White rice has, again, no fat. It has the whole bran, the outer layer taken off. That will last a long time. Rice is pretty safe, white rice. Brown rice, you have to worry about rancidity.
But you can't do that by just looking at it. It's really more just knowing how old the thing is.
Yeah, that's why you need to label. But, you know, if brown rice is rancid and you open it up, and you'll smell it if you have a sensitive nose for that kind of thing.
And nuts, definitely, you can smell.
Nuts, you can.
Rancidity.
But sometimes you can't tell until you taste them. I mean, nuts are what – but you can always taste – what before you bake with nuts, I always taste a nut because you never – sometimes nuts are mixed. Like when you buy them, especially if you buy them in bulk, they're mixing nuts of different ages and different – from different – stored in different conditions. So you could have one rancid nut and the rest of them are fine, which – then you think you try this one walnut and you're like, should I throw the whole batch out? So then you try a second one. And if the second one is fine, you have to decide.
It's not going to kill you.
But it's not going to kill you. That's the thing. But, you know, you're going to bake brownies with them. You want them to be good brownies.
What about oil? I've been told that if you open olive oil, you better start using it almost immediately.
Yeah. You know, I once made salad for somebody who isn't a big salad eater. And she had a bottle of olive oil that I think she probably bought in the year 2002. And it was just, I mean, it smelled terrible and it was just cloudy. And so I ended up not using it to make the salad. If you don't use your oils frequently, they will go off. Olive oil, any oil will become rancid. And the oils go rancid very quickly.
And this becomes a big problem when I'm thinking about spices. Well, they're not cheap. And yet often you buy a spice simply for some recipe. How often do I wind up using hazelnut oil or walnut oil? Sesame oil maybe a little more if you cook a certain kind of ethnic cuisine.
Right.
But these things often just wind up being used once in a blue moon.
I know. That's the problem, is that you buy a little bottle of walnut oil and it costs $12, and it's this teeny weeny little bottle and you use it once. So the thing to do is when you buy that little bottle, just devote yourself to it for a couple of months. Say, you know what? I'm going to be cooking with this walnut oil and really use it up, because it won't last. Even in the fridge. I mean, if you put it in the fridge, maybe you'll get 6 months out of it. Maybe.
We have to take a little break, and we'll come back with some of our listeners' calls, 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at Twitter is at Leonard Lopate. Stay with us for more with Melissa Clark. And we are back with Melissa Clark, columnist for the New York Times dining section, author of at least 30, well, I say at least 30 cookbooks. 30. It is 30?
No, I think we're up to, you know, it's one of those things. It's like last week it was 37, but maybe we're up to 38, you know.
So Cook This Now is no longer the latest cookbook?
Well, I have co-authored since then.
Ah.
So
you
want
to tell us?
I've worked with, the most recent book is the Franny's Cookbook, which is a wonderful pizza and Italian restaurant in Brooklyn. And I worked with
Relocated
Andrew.
Recently.
Yes, recently relocated. And it has some of the most wonderful, simple – I mean, this is a perfect book for spring, because it has some of the most wonderful, simple springtime – I mean, it's a seasonal cookbook, but their spring recipes are especially enticing. And a really amazing method for making pizza that tastes like it came out of a pizza oven in your home oven.
Well.
So, Franny's Cookbook.
We have a call from Mark from Manhattan. He knows something about cheese.
Oh, please.
Go ahead.
Question regarding the mold on cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I've been actually eating cheese since I was probably two, and I've probably tasted every single kind of cheese there is all over the planet.
Mark, you're not unique in that regard.
No, absolutely not. But I have had a significant experience with molded cheese. So the things that I've accumulated over the years is that if the cheese is porous and there's mold on the surface, then there is a very good chance that the mold is throughout the cheese and probably shouldn't be eaten.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking like a mozzarella cheese, like something like
that. Yeah.
Yep.
Correct. And so the hard cheeses, they're kind of a little impermeable. Mold on the surface probably isn't a problem, and you can just probably cut that off and eat that. Shouldn't be an issue. Now, there are some cheeses that require aging. If they've not been secondarily contaminated, meaning that they haven't been handled by other individuals besides the curator, then those cheeses, if they have mold on them, sometimes it's actually beneficial. And that may be where you're getting the confusion is from your listeners. Sometimes you'll hear them say that mold on the cheese is actually quite good. And it depends on the kind of cheese.
Yeah, and the kind of mold, right? Exactly, the kind of mold.
And the kind of mold as well. And, you know, the acidic cheeses, those molds tend to be a bit more toxic. And so you have to be careful with that.
Okay.
That's great.
But the interesting thing is all cheese is fat. So since fat has a shorter life, as you've been saying, Melissa, we should at least be concerned.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean.
I would think Parmesan cheese with a little bit of mold, no problem. Scrape it off.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, Parmesan, especially if you have the real Parmigiano Reggiano and you've paid a lot of money for it, I'd say absolutely just scrape it off. But if it's ground, have you ever ground up your cheese? You buy the Parmesan, you grind it, and then you get those little spots of mold. That I do throw out, because then I think the gentleman who just called is right, because it gets all through the cheese. It's like you scrape off the top, but then it's right there underneath.
Bob from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is such an interesting conversation. First of all, you just mentioned Parmesan cheese, and I used to throw out a lot of the Costco ground Parmesan cheese, which is usually a combination of Argentina cheese and Italian hard cheeses. And one day I was in Costco and a woman said, well, I mentioned I always throw out some. She said, well, keep it in the freezer. You'll never have a problem. And I've never had a problem since.
You know what? Thank you for saying that, because that's exactly what I started doing that about a year ago after getting the same thing. I would buy a thing of pre-ground cheese, which I don't often do, but sometimes I do, or I'd grind my own. And it would get moldy after a week. And then I put it in the freezer. And the best thing about it is that it doesn't clump up. So you can still just shake a little bit out if you need it for pasta. So thank you.
I love Costco, but I must admit, it's not the greatest source of cheeses.
No.
But that's a whole other matter.
But the tip goes for if you grind your own, you know, you grind up your – you buy expensive Parmesan, you grind it up, and then store it in the freezer in a container, and
well,
you'll be able to –
Yeah, well, let's talk about storage. You said in a container. Many people will store things in the freezer bags.
Uh-huh.
And also, I'm just thinking about storage. What is the best way to store things for – long-term use? If you buy flour, should you put it in a canister? Should it be glass? Should it be metal? Can you keep it in the bag if you use flour an awful lot?
You can absolutely keep it in the bag if you use it a lot. But I always pour mine into one of those airtight containers. If you have one with a seal or a lock on it, those are great. Those really do improve.
The glass ones that have those metal things.
Either the glass ones or the metal ones that have the little things, or even the plastic ones. They have the BPA plastic ones that have the little suction things. I think OXO makes them.
I'm not putting anything in BPA. We just did a show about BPA.
BPA free.
Yeah, but even then it's
even
a
then plastic. Oh, really? Oh. I have to go. I'm going
to
go
listen
to that,
show.
I'm going to go get on my podcast immediately. Okay, well, so forget the plastic. But no, you can. But you're looking for that airtight seal, because that is what's going to improve your shelf life. And that's especially good for whole grain flour, as we were talking about that. So even if you don't store your white flour in a glass container, store your whole grains.
What about things like dates? I mean, how would you store them?
Oh, dates are funny, because dates will last a really long time. They're so high in sugar, they're like honey. They just don't. They're not going to go bad, probably. I mean, they might go bad, but I haven't seen it. But what happens to dates is that they lose their moisture and they become these little sweet rocks that you can't possibly chew. So you really need to, again, store those airtight, because that's going to keep the moisture of the dried fruit locked in.
So if, let's say you're using a freezer bag, one of the tricks is to try to keep it as airtight as possible, squeeze as much air out.
Yeah, you know what you can do? You can put the whatever you want to put in a freezer bag, but those are plastic, so you know, I thought we're not supposed to store in those. But anyway, you're supposed to put the stuff on the bottom and then roll it up.
It's almost impossible to live a plastic-free life, unfortunately.
It is impossible, but you know, I collect those little jars. Jam jars if you fill them to the top, then there's not a lot of room for air. So even just reusing jam jars, if you don't want to go and spend money and buy a bunch of new jars, if you fill jam jars to the top and you seal them really tightly, they'll be better than just keeping them in something more porous. You don't want the air to reach them.
If you have something like raisins,
uh-huh.
They can get really hard. Can you just plump them up, put a little water in with them?
Oh, yeah. Wine? Ooh, even better. When you use them, plumping raisins in wine sounds very good.
And what about brown sugar? That often hardens.
Brown sugar is...
Should you put a piece of apple in with it?
If it gets really hard, that's one of those age-old grandma tricks that works fabulously. If you have your brown sugar and you notice that it's hard as a rock, and it could be a weapon instead of a sweetener, then you take a slice of apple, you put it in there, and in a day or two, it's going to be perfectly soft and malleable again. But I store my brown sugar the same way I store my whole grain flours, in an airtight container. And I never have a problem anymore. It's so liberating. It's great. Every time I want to get my brown sugar out, it's nice and soft.
My guest is Melissa Clark. We've just decided she's just a couple of cookbooks short of 40 now, between the ones under her own name or the ones she's collaborated on. She has a weekly column in the New York Times dining section. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Let's take another call. This one is from Art from Manhattan. Hi, Art. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We're hearing you perfectly well.
I love fine olive oil. I noticed that within a few days after opening the bottle, it would become very musty. It would change even in a few days. Very mm-hmm. frustrating. So I began to use a vacuum device, the kind of a device that people use to preserve red wine.
Mm-hmm.
You pick it up in a wine store. has a hand pump and a stopper. And I get less, I can do that, and I can have a bottle of olive oil open 2 months. After 2 months, I will not get the same kind of deterioration.
That's a really...
That I get even several days.
That's a brilliant idea. Brilliant. That is so smart, because you're absolutely right, especially when you get new oil. Do you ever buy the new oil, like the ones that have just been harvested, and they're so bright green and so flavorful?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are fabulous. And I always, I try to use those up in a week, because they just, like you said, even a few days, like they deteriorate, they oxidize, and they're still good, but they don't have that same flavor.
It's
that
all
delicious.
Air. It's like wine.
Yeah, it's
that
exactly.
Air changes them.
Exactly. The air oxidates them, and it changes the flavor. And in fact, it's funny, because some people don't like that super green, grassy flavor of just pressed oil, but I happen to love it. And I am so grateful for you for this wine tip, because I'm going to use it now. Thank you. That is a great, and Leonard, we were just talking about the walnut oil and the hazelnut oil. You can do it with all of those things. That is a really great tip. Thank you.
What about chocolate?
Chocolate is funny, because people think their chocolate is off when it's not off. So we have to clear up some chocolate.
Well, do you store it in the refrigerator?
No, you don't. Moisture is the enemy of chocolate. You want chocolate to be stored dry. So you put it in your pantry.
Even in the warmer months?
It doesn't get that hot in my kitchen. But yeah, if it gets really hot in your kitchen, try to find the coolest spot in your house that's not the refrigerator, because the moisture degrades chocolate pretty quickly. Your ideal storage conditions for chocolate is a cool room temperature in the dark. Also, light degrades chocolate. And light also will degrade spices. Light will degrade olive oil. So any of these, and heat. So store any of these things in a dark place, but away from the stove, because heat really, especially people have their spice cabinets right next to the stove. You should move them. That's not a good idea, because really the heat will help the oils dissipate.
You have them there for convenience.
Right, because you want to, but it's not the best place to store them in terms of keeping them for a long time. But back to chocolate. So people will buy chocolate and they'll notice a little white film on it and they'll think their chocolate is bad, but that's not bad. That's called bloom, and that is just the sugar of the chocolate coming out on the surface, and that is perfectly fine. It's not as pretty, but it will be fine to use in a recipe. And chocolate, especially dark chocolate, will really last for a year, maybe two, even longer. Milk chocolate, which also, again, it has milk solids, it has more fat in it, that will last less long. That probably will keep for maybe 6 months to a year tops. And then white chocolate has the most dairy in it, and that will keep for the least amount of time. It has the most fat as well.
And since I don't like white chocolate,
well, then you don't have to worry about that.
Marvin, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I got a question. I turned in late, so I'm sorry. I apologize. I've been buying, I'm single. I've been buying meats from an outfit in Omaha for the longest couple of years.
So you buy meat from that Omaha place has you mail in and then charges a lot of money?
That's the one. That's the one. That's okay with me. I appreciate it. This last time I looked in my freezer and my refrigerator, way in the back, I had two filet mignons been there for 3 weeks. Should I throw it out or not?
In the fridge or the freezer?
In the refrigerator, not the freezer.
What were they packed in?
Excuse me?
What are they packed in? Are they wrapped in plastic?
They use a cryovac, aren't they?
They were very, very cold, because they took them out of the freezer 3 weeks ago and put them in the refrigerator. And now they're back in the back end of the refrigerator. I wonder, should I throw them out or not?
Well, okay, this is what I would do. And I'm telling you, my official stance here is throw them out. I'm saying that, like, if you ask me, I would say throw them out. However, I'm going to tell you something else right now, too. How's your sense of smell?
You have an excellent
set. Because if you're...
If it doesn't smell bad, it's okay.
Well, is your fridge extremely cold?
Yeah, that's a good fridge. It's a fairly new one, too.
All right, well, then I'm going to say use your judgment. Use your best judgment. Because if they're vacuum-packed and if they're still... If you took them from the freezer, put them in the back of the fridge, they stayed sort of semi-frozen the whole time, and they're cryovac'd, they really might be okay. So
cryovac is the way most of those things are delivered.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, cryovac is the way the meatpacking companies send stuff to New York and to all across the country.
And cryovacking is great because we're back to the same root of many evils with things that will degrade your food, and that's oxygen. That is just our air. So if you vacuum pack it and it's cryovac, you're not getting that.
Now, if you're going through your refrigerator and you find some aging vegetables, throw them out or just put them in a stock?
Make soup. Are they wilted and sad? Then they can go in soup. Are they moldy? Then you throw them out. I mean, here's the thing I've noticed. I've actually never knew this about radishes before, but that radishes actually get a very fuzzy little gray mold if you keep them in your fridge for a month. So,
well, what's the best way to store vegetables in your refrigerator?
It depends on the
There are usually these
crisper drawers, right?
Yeah. But is it better to put it into those rather than just on a shelf?
Usually. I mean, it depends. You know, some vegetables you never want to put in the fridge. For example, tomatoes get mealy in the fridge, so you want to avoid that.
Shouldn't put tomatoes in the refrigerator.
Never put tomatoes in the fridge, but we don't have to worry about that in the middle of March, unfortunately. Potatoes do better without the moisture of the fridge, but they do want a cold place. Again, a cold, dark place.
Another listener wonders if you should freeze fresh herbs.
It depends on the fresh herbs. Leafy ones, such as basil, tarragon, chives, don't do well in the freezer at all. They lose their perfume. Right. They sort of flop and they turn black and then they don't taste like anything. If you process them with oil and you make almost like an herb paste, that will freeze well. And it's because the oil helps preserve them. But they don't last forever. The oil, those will only last for maybe 6 months tops.
One of my producers says she freezes dill.
Straight dill? Like in the freezer?
Reading what she said, she told me.
Wow. Huh. I'll have to try that. I've done basil, chives, and tarragon, and they don't work very well, but I will try dill.
Yeah.
You keep trying
these things.
I don't
think thyme would work well either.
No, but thyme dries really well, and that's why you would dry thyme, rosemary, anything twiggy like that. You want to just dry them. You tie them up in a string and then just hang them and let them dry in a cool, dark place. You don't want light.
Barbara asks on our show page, I just bought my first small package of almond flour. How long can I keep it unopened? And once opened, how quickly must I use it?
Almond flour lasts longer than you think. I know this because I found a package of almond flour in the back of my fridge, and it had been there for months. And I thought, oh, God, almond flour for months, it's going to be rancid. And it wasn't. It was still good. So just make sure that you want to store almond flour in the freezer or in the refrigerator. And obviously, the packages are pretty small, and you want to try to use it quickly. But quickly, meaning a couple of months, I think you're okay.
Let's sneak in Alexi. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I found in the back of my parents' cabinet an ancient container of nutmeg. And on the bottom, very faintly legible, it says June 1973.
It's aged nutmeg.
Yes, aged, like the vintage nutmeg. So, but I just thought it'd be kind of fun to try it, and it still tastes. I mean, it's a lot more delicate than the nutmeg I have next to it in my own kitchen. But my question, I guess, my wife says throw it out, but I kind of like the idea that I'm tasting and putting on custard and stuff my childhood, more or less.
Oh, I love that. I don't think nutmeg's going to kill you. I think you're fine on that. I think
because it's a nut again.
Exactly. Well, and it doesn't have the fat content. And if it tastes like anything at all, and if it tastes like your childhood, I think that's really important.
And Nomi, you have to make this very quick.
Okay, what's the best way to store canned beans? The can is open, you rinse them, you use some, but you have leftover. Can you make those last?
In the freezer. Throw them right in. That's what I do. I throw them right in the freezer. And
In a separate jar.
Oh, yeah, take them out of the can. Yeah. Take them out of a can, put them in a container. I have those, by the way, freezer-safe glass. Mm-hmm. Those are great. So you have the tempered freezer-safe glass, and you put or whatever, plastic container, put it in, or a bag, even a freezer bag.
Now, that's where Costco is really good.
Freezer
bags.
They
sell those. No, those glass things.
Yeah.
They're kind of like Tupperware, only they're made out of glass.
Exactly, and you have to buy the freezer-safe ones. But those will last in the freezer for months.
You know, we have a recipe that you supplied this month, spiced nut sandies, which, of course, requires only fresh ingredients.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon, I hope.
I hope so. Thank you.
Melissa Clark, you can read her every week on Wednesday in the New York Times dining section or any of the many cookbooks that she has written. The most recent one, totally under her own name, is Cook This Now. It's from Hyperion.